Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Keith and the Girl Show. I have a couple of really awesome guests today. Please welcome Dan Soder.
Hello.
And Brent Sullivan.
Hi, everyone.
And you can also follow us on Reddit. Our subreddit is Keith and the Girl. Today makes the seventh show that Keith can't be with us for. And he's particularly upset about this one because I don't know if you guys know this. It's our 1700th episode.
Right now.
Right now, today.
Holy wow. Shit.
That's nice. What people are listening to right now. That's what we're creating right now.
Mm. Well, he'll be back for many more.
Yes.
And the 2000th is, everyone knows,
right.
The biggest episode.
If he's still in there, if he's still in the hospital for number 2000, we are going in there after him and we're recording from there.
Yeah.
Not and, that that's what it's looking like, just for those who just got upset,
yeah.
You know?
Why would you say that?
Yes. It's looking up. I don't have any real news, and to be honest, a lot of people are asking, oh, when's he coming out? What's the latest? Blah, blah, blah. And I kind of got in this place where I'm not promising anymore because, you know, we thought he'd be back from yesterday's show, and he's not, and then I feel like now I'm just disappointing people over and over again. So now yeah. I'm just saying, you know, and there's a lot of, how does Keith feel? And I just feel like saying, I don't know, why don't you text him? So I came up with this formula. It's like, he's uncomfortable, he's bored, but he's okay, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's a strong dude. I know that he's miserable in there. I know that he's not showing it as much as he's actually feeling it. And I know that any one of us would just be going mad
sure.
in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does he have his laptop?
He has an iPad.
Okay.
He's not a big fan of the laptops because he doesn't like the way the mouse works and where everything is, and he's used to this system. As you can see, it's very it's very la-di-da over here. Yeah.
Super high tech.
Yes, I'm sitting in the master seat. I don't know if you noticed.
You're in the captain's chair.
Yes, I am. And I want to talk about the things that are coming up for you guys in Christmas, things like that. But before we get into that, I want to let people know that it's not too late. It's not too late for Christmas because I'm going to tell you a little secret, and that's berries.com. It's Sherry's Berries, and what you do is you get these giant freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries, and you get them for so cheap if you put in code KATG. So it's starting at $19.99 if you put in that code KATG. You go to berries.com, click on the mic, type code KATG, and right now you can double your berries order for just $10 more. I don't know how this isn't tempting. It's tempting for me right now.
It's making me salivate.
Right?
Sounds amazing.
I want to stop this show and just go do it. In fact,
do they have all sorts of berries?
All sorts of berries. Dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate.
Uh-huh.
Lauren and I sent sugar-free chocolate her dad because he's diabetic.
Oh,
yeah. And they have not only these giant strawberries, but also other things that they dip in chocolate, which are really fun. So it's definitely worth a look. And they taste amazing.
If these are what I think they are,
they probably are.
Christmas, my mom's friend gave her a Ziploc bag of what I believe is Sherry's Berries.
Yeah.
She shared her Sherry's Berries with
me? And I lost my shit. I took it back with me to New York. I'm really going to look this up because if that's what that is.
It's got to be because I've never seen strawberries like this.
I'm going to squeal. Do they look like candies? Do they look like orange? Covered can't.
Depends. They might have that on the website. I saw their giant strawberries.
Okay.
So yeah. I saw the giant strawberries and
I'm doing
and
some research.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy. Berries.com. berries.com.
Wow, they nailed it.
Right?
They must have gotten really early
you know?
On that URL.
Yes. Berries.com. Click on the microphone. Put in code KATG. Hurry because this offer, doubling your berries for just $10, is going to expire this Thursday at midnight. So do it now. So I was talking to you guys before the show about me doing the show by myself here, mm-hmm. and yesterday we had a couple of guests on, and I knew that this would have a big response from people because they were two females. We've had a lot of male comics come through. We've had a lot of where I'm the only girl in the room, and no one was like, this show's too butchy. But there was a little bit of a response. You know, we also, I took it to the next level, to be honest. I started talking about the show Girls. And I knew.
Girls, you're doing a show with all girls talking girls.
Yes.
It's a lot of girls.
Yes, but what's funny is some of the people, like one person on the forums was like, and then it just started sounding like girls talking, and I can't deal with that. And I was like, okay.
What kind of shit? What kind of 1930s? Why all this gibbering? I can't take it.
Exactly. So I saw that Emmy went on the, a friend of mine who is also a listener of the show, she went on there and said, right? I hate when girls talk. What kind of response do you want me to have to that?
You're so right.
Right.
I feel like anything comedy related is always just dudes talking about dudes.
A lot of it, yeah.
Or, you know,
and I've never been like, women. Stop talking about your cocks.
Right, right.
Because who doesn't love that all the time, day in and day out? And what's funny also is I thought, you know, the first half of the show was them talking about sleeping around and, you know, how they get off and shit like that.
Yeah.
It was erotic.
Excuse me, you know, are we, you know... You know what it was? Next time, I'm going to try to persuade them to speak in this voice, and maybe everyone could hear it a little better. So maybe it's a little different going. And then I asked them to jerk me off because fuck it, I didn't come.
Yeah.
Maybe might be different. And that's then, you know.
Yeah, that's intense.
It is intense, but it's how we talk. We don't talk to each other in these voices, you know?
Yeah. Well, in my mind, you do.
Yes.
And they usually lead to sensual tickle fights.
Pillow fights.
And then you guys are laughing and kissing and just wishing that there was a dude in the room.
Right. Putting on each other's makeup just for funsies so we can look good all the time.
Yeah, playing MASH.
What?
You guys remember MASH?
I do remember. I do remember.
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Yeah. What was it? It was Mansion.
Apartment.
Apartment. That's right.
Shack. And house. Oh, why do you remember this so well, Dan?
Listen,
yes.
Pot might have very seriously.
Yeah, pot might have ruined a lot of my short-term memories, but long-term still there.
Oh yeah, and that's what you decided to keep in your long-term is MASH.
I remember MASH, and I remember the proper way to play Foursquare, the real Foursquare, not the website.
Oh what?
Yeah.
What?
Sorry what was the, what? There was a king, queen, and like two jacks, right?
Ah, Brent knows his Foursquare.
Well, I was very talented.
See, people think
man.
Foursquare now, and you're like, "What are you checking in somewhere? You at a restaurant?"
Nope.
In my day, it was a game you played with a red bouncy ball.
Yep.
To do what?
And you just played it. I don't know. You eliminated people. I forgot how it actually went. I just remember that there was a game called
Jelly Ball.
Do you remember the best noise that those balls make is when you played kickball and it went off a kid's face?
Oh my God, that hurt so bad. Yes, but I was the kid.
I didn't have Jelly Ball. What was that?
It's like, no, it's, I'm talking about those red rubber.
Oh, yes.
Where it'd come off the foot and just slam into a kid's head.
I bet, based on how much we baby our children a little too much right now, I bet those balls don't even exist in school because those things hurt. And then they always decide to play dodgeball with that, where the goal is to actually hit someone as hard as possible.
Leather up that skin.
Right? That shit hurt. Did it ever hit you in the face?
Oh yeah,
I'm
I got
sure
bloody noses.
A couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could play sports and I did, but it didn't mean I was very good at it. And I remember I would cry a lot if like something didn't go my way, or if I got like hit with a ball or something. I remember being very upset. On a couple different occasions.
You know what's funny? I didn't cry necessarily, but I remember becoming emotionally withdrawn. I think that's what my therapist would call it when I didn't do well at sports.
Dan, you're a pretty giant man, Dan. Did it take you longer to grow?
I grew a lot in a little. So, like, I went from, like, my freshman year of high school being pretty, like, 5'7", 5'8".
Oh, wow.
By my junior year, I was 6'3 and a half.
Whoa, do you have the marks to prove it?
No stretch marks.
Really? Because sometimes you act like a fat kid.
I never was fat.
Like, just, you know, that's such a mean thing for me to say, but you know
what I
mean?
No, but I get what you're saying.
You know, like, sometimes people will have a voice that sounds like it is being muffled by a lot of fat or something.
Yeah. And that's how it sounds.
I think they're just making fun of me.
No.
Talking through a layer of fat.
Well, you have a beautiful and distinct voice, but yeah, it doesn't sound like that, but it sounds like it's... Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I think it's more like you're an only child, right?
Yes.
And you're a big strapping lad. And you talk like, you know...
Like a wuss? Like a lady? Say
like,
it.
Like maybe somebody put you under the bridge for a little while and told you not nice things, and then suddenly you bloomed into this flower and you still don't know it yet.
You know what? I find that to be a touching retelling of my backstory. And I think I'm going to keep that. Because you're not, you know what? You're not all that wrong. A lot of verbal abuse in the preteens.
Is that true?
Yeah, my mom's boyfriend was a dickhead.
Really?
Yeah, he's just a dick. He just talks shit to me. Be like, you're dumb.
Oh.
Really?
Like, yeah, oh yeah. Because I would say things improper like, well, Mike and me are gonna go down. Mike and I, and then you're just you're fucking dumb. He always used to threaten. He always used to be like, you're gonna work at a gas station. And I thought that was like the worst thing.
Did your mom hear this stuff?
Yeah, she's sitting right there.
And what'd she do?
Yeah. Joined in.
No.
Yeah, it became like a shit kicking thing.
Oh my God.
Wait,
but
so
I love her.
How did an adult say that to a kid? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, he was. I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I think he unloads planes at Denver International Airport now. So. Fuck
well,
you.
He's not a gas attendant, Dan.
Yeah.
At least I don't work at a gas station. I mean,
I can't believe he was so specific. Like, is that the job he would hate the most?
Yeah, it must have been like subconscious.
You know?
Or something.
I think like old school. You know, if you grew up in like the 50s and 60s, it was like, buddy, I want to work at a gas station?
Right.
No, pumping petrol.
Are they still dating?
No. They broke up when I was like 16. Oh. And of course, that's when I got big.
Oh,
so I couldn't beat him up.
Oh, man. You missed your chance.
The one that got away. He's the one that got away.
So you just forgave your mom? Or you worked on it for a while?
Yeah, you know, that's what therapy's about.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been?
You work through these issues.
I've been going for 7 months.
Oh, this is new.
Yeah, and it is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I love being called an alcoholic every Tuesday at 11 a.m.
Can she do that?
What is it?
I don't know why I'm calling her a she.
Yeah, it's him. It's a he. My therapist is a he.
What is it about a therapist? And I love therapy. I've been in therapy a couple times. But what is it about therapists where, like, if you reference drinking two beers, they'll be like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Is that true?
I had a therapist once who I told a story about, you know, I think I referenced getting drunk. And she's like, Brent, do we need to talk about this? It's like,
I love your therapist
voice.
Can you do the therapist voice again?
Brent, should we discuss this, Brent? Do you want to explore that? I had one therapist, she would always say, let's explore that. And I was grossed out. But I don't understand. Like, it's like drinking is a normal, reasonable part of life.
Yeah.
As long as you don't take it to an excess, of course. But I feel like I hear that a lot from people who go to therapy, that like if you reference drinking, like that's the crux of your problem.
Well, did you reference it a few times, and does it always start with, do your stories a lot of times start with, I was in a bar, I was drinking, you know, that kind of thing?
Well, the reality is when I'm in a bar, I am almost universally drunk because I can't go to a gay bar without being drunk.
Really?
Why?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's
do you find it silly?
I mean, I can walk in sober, but I have to start going from there. I have to build a foundation.
Are you nervous talking to
me? Yeah, you know, nervous, uncomfortable. You feel like you're being mega judged.
Well, you are, but
yeah.
It's almost...
Sure.
And see, I think this is some envy that straight men have for gay men, because you think about that. I don't think about it like judgment. I think like, oh man, you're just walking into a buffet of dick.
Yeah.
Like you're just walking in like, I like that. Mm-hmm. And I like that. Like whereas you're a straight guy, you have to see a girl, you have to talk to her.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yep.
I am not going to hurt you.
That's a good opening line, Dan.
Hello, lady. In my big hands. Hello. I'm not going to hurt you. Get a ton of puss that way. I'm just saying, I'm knocking it out of the park. Knee deep in stink. But it's interesting to hear you say, like, you get, you know, that judgment, which I can't imagine.
Because
gay guys are you guys are super catty.
Gay men, because you forget, you forget that gay men are still men, and so they're still competitive and aggressive. But you know, in New York, there's a lot of alpha men, alpha male personalities, because that's sort of what New York draws sometimes.
And you are
not. Yeah, I'm okay. Like I would say pretty passive.
Me too. I'm beta.
Yeah.
I'm beta. I'm comfortable.
Yeah,
saying
yeah,
I'm
very,
beta.
Yeah, very comfortable saying I'm beta. So, yeah, and so you get a lot of, a ton of attitude, especially I find that white people are the least friendly. White gay men are the least friendly people I've ever come in contact with.
Really?
Universally.
Shut up.
And I say that as a white gay man.
Are you white?
Yeah, I'm white.
I'm looking at him. He's looking pretty white.
He looks a little off-white to me, like maybe a little...
I mean, I'm Irish and Greek.
Are you saying dash of Asian?
No, I swear I was going to say a little Greek, a little Asian is in there. Yeah?
You're saying dash of Asian.
Greek and Irish.
Just a tiny... Maybe Filipino. Nothing that really...
Nothing that's going to offend anyone.
Yeah, nothing. Let's not go get all offensive. I'm talking he's a Pino. Let's throw that out there. Like, whoa!
I think that's accepted. Pinoy, right? That's an accepted term.
Pinoy.
Yeah.
I worked with them in Alaska, and they'd say Pinoy pride.
Yeah.
They're very proud to call
them. I think... But they are... Filipinos, they might be able to say what they want.
Is that their N-word? I don't know. I just said it.
I don't think it is.
I don't know. The P-word?
What was it?
We're talking about white, gay, judgmental
men. I used to work at Kaplan and...
What's Kaplan?
The learning center?
Yeah, I used to work at a test prep company, and my job was specifically to tell people when a class was canceled due to low enrollment, it was my job to inform the person that paid for it.
Is that an entire job?
That was an entire job.
They're canceling a lot of classes, huh?
I won't say that. But I will say that when dealing with people, it was always like the mega white bread, super wealthy people who were universally the worst to deal with.
Oh, of course.
There's so much entitlement. I feel like with white people have so much entitlement. And I say that as a white person. I mean, I'm sure if I had gotten that call that my class was canceled, I also would have threatened to call the Attorney General of the United States of America, which is probably what I got every 2 or 3 days.
Come on.
I am not making this up.
People really threatened.
The Attorney General.
They would either threaten to call the Attorney General of the United States. Usually it was the Attorney General of their respective state, or they would just threaten to sue.
Okay, I'm you, right? Okay, yeah. You threatened to sue the Attorney
wasp
General.
Wasp it up. Really
go
wasp
ahead.
It up.
Go ahead. Your class is canceled. I'm sorry.
There excuse me? Excuse me? Well, then reinstate the class. I paid for that class.
We're going to refund.
That class is, you can't do this. No, you cannot do this.
We're going to refund your
I paid for that class.
That's my favorite white person line.
Yeah, you cannot do this. Right.
You cannot do this.
Exactly.
That's it. That's, if people want to know, like, what are white people like? Mm-hmm. Bitchy tone. You cannot do it. Unfair. Yeah.
Nothing bad has ever happened to them.
I'm sitting here with two white guys. Yeah. Let's explore.
They're the fucking worst. let me say this. I hate all groups.
Sure.
I hate all
groups.
Well,
you're a comic that you get paid to.
I like individuals.
Yes.
And of all the groups that I hate the most.
Pinoys?
Are Filipinos. Those goddamn flippolinos. Are white people. Rich white people are...
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it's like kind of like people are like, yeah, well, you're supposed to say that. You're a white guy.
It's also the it's the least offensive.
It would be really weird if I was like, you know what I really just fucking hate are poor black people. Right. They're the worst. But I'm being honest when I say I get annoyed and fed up the most with overprivileged rich white people. Because I was a waiter for so long.
Yeah.
That's who I dealt with.
You know, what's interesting, though, I wonder if it's possible if I hate underprivileged white people even more only because they still have the entitlement of being a white person without the bank account to back it up.
Honey boo boo.
Sure. Absolutely.
Look at me. Yep. Look at me.
No one wants to look at you. Yep. You're gross.
You know what?
You live in a field.
We have a poll for every show, and today's poll will be, who do you hate more, rich white people
or poor
white people? Thank you, guys. This makes life a lot easier later.
Here's the thing. Poor white people are much more dangerous because they have that entitlement, and they're willing to use violence to show that entitlement.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're like, if I don't want to, like, just fucking lash out. I don't know why they're all from the South.
Yeah, right?
I don't know why either.
I don't know. There's some pretty rural parts of Colorado that I'm scared of.
But then again, there are so many classless wealthy people.
Yeah.
So gaudy. Many wealthy people have zero class.
They're called Spaniards.
Okay, before we go into the worst place possible.
I'm just going into everything where I'm like, and another thing.
Right.
My militia is recruiting. Cool with gays. We're cool with a lot of stuff. Don't
Let's
like...
talk about the berries again.
Right?
Sounded so good.
Let me just tell you guys, you are now officially having to send berries to white people. Like each of you has to pick a nice white family to send this to after the bullshit you just spewed out of your face.
Nope.
But like I said, we do polls. I want to go over a couple of polls from the recent shows. From show 1695, I said, would you feel safe on Trey's annual camping trip? You know Trey Gallion?
Yeah.
He goes on a camping trip every year, and they do mushrooms, and someone fell out of a tree, and blah, blah, blah. And so I wanted to see how my audience would feel about it. Yes, they would feel safe. 58%.
Hey.
Oh.
It's not high.
So but just, it's a majority.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
That's right.
Also, do you or did you look at Keith's pictures of the ooze that we posted? Like he's
the drainage.
Yes, he's oozing out of his side. Did you go look at it? Because I said, you know, don't be scared to look on our website. That we're going to have that explicit thing, so you have to actually click on it to see it. We're not going to just surprise you with the inside of Keith's inner workings. So, yes, 81% people looked at it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Curiosity.
Gross.
I'm curious. I'm gonna look.
Are you gonna?
I can look. I actually sort of get into gory photos like rotten.com.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
But I hate photos that I would describe as suffering, like photos of like someone who's like been in an accident but is alive and just in pain. I can't. I'll pass out. But like someone who was like, you know, crushed by like a steamroller or something. I'm like, yeah, I'll look at that.
See, I want to. Okay, a while ago, do you know Chris Iacono?
Yeah.
Okay, so when he first was on the show, he mentioned that he has snake eyes tattooed on his dick head.
Mm-hmm. Do you know about that?
Yes.
Does
yes,
not.
And that's what I said. So I asked him to show us, and he did. And you know what I did? I looked away.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't look at the dick. Huh? I couldn't look at the snake right in its ass.
Because I was like, yeah, you have to show us. I totally encouraged it. It was my idea. And then I squeed. And then I got a glimpse of it to know that it actually is on there.
Sure.
But that's me. I want to look. I get wanting to look at the steamrolled body.
Yep.
But
it's just, and I respect the fact that if I die via steamroller, someone's going to want to look, and that's fine to me.
Okay.
So I'm okay with that.
Brent just gave us permission to Twitter that out via his account with a warning, of course.
With a warning, of course. You have to specifically click on it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Did you used to watch those Faces of Death?
I never got Faces of Death. I do go to the website I go to now is called Best Gore.
Okay. What about Banned from TV?
You're just giving him Saturday night plans.
I watched the band from TV, and it's fucked up.
What are you thinking as you're watching it? Yay?
I was in high school, and I was stoned, and my friend's like, I got this video from my sister. And then we put it in, and it was like a tape.
Yeah.
It was a tape. It was a video, VHS. Put it in, and fuck that.
But were you watching because you were in high school, or were you watching like, this is fascinating?
Both.
Mm-hmm.
Both.
Okay.
And the girl gets hit by the train. Well, she doesn't see the train coming. And there's like a guy falling off a call tower.
Would you watch it now?
No.
No?
Absolutely not. Really? I don't like that shit. I don't even like when they do surgeries. They show surgeries on shows. I'm like,
I can't watch that.
Me too. They will literally, on regular TV, where they can't show explicit sexual content, but they will show you the incision as they're cutting in.
Yeah.
Like, it is amazing.
Yeah, like nip tuck.
I know.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? Nip tuck is so ironic because the whole thing is to make everyone look pretty. Watching the process.
Yeah.
What was that show MTV did? I want to look like a celebrity.
Ooh.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Vaguely.
Sort of.
You know what grosses me out the most? People getting, when they show plastic surgery.
Oh, God.
It really bothers me because...
They're stuffing you.
And they're like jerking, the person's out and they're just like jerking their head around and they're putting in cheek implants. Why the fuck do you need cheek implants, weirdo?
Even you describing it, we have to move on.
Okay.
We have to. I'm really sorry.
I'm really sorry. I'm upset now.
Yes.
Too.
You guys can discuss this later.
Are you feeling lightheaded?
Yeah, make a little date for yourself. I don't know. I can't deal with this. Call it another girl show, whatever. And here's this that you'll totally not understand, but I wanted to announce this to the audience. Who should win in the reading contest from today's show? That was show 1698. It was Mike Kaplan, Mike Lawrence, and Danny Hatch. And I wanted to bring this up because I wanted you guys to vote on air. Mike Kaplan, Mike Lawrence, Danny Hatch, they each read something, and then we put up a poll. It was actually a review of the Christmas CD that's in front of you right now. Mm-hmm. Who would you guys pick?
That's a tough question. I mean, I would.
This is the toughest one.
Evaluate their work. I would want to evaluate their work before I.
Good answer. Good answer.
Here's my question.
Yes.
It's clearly something brief.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. My decision, I think, is based on that solely alone. Like Mike Lawrence, I would like to listen to read something longer.
Okay.
I feel like there would be a lot more characters and it'd be fun.
That's funny you should say he put on a character for this.
And I believe something short and informative, I'd prefer Mike Kaplan.
Okay. The winner was Mike Lawrence.
Oh.
Because he put on a very special voice. Yes.
Yeah, voices always do that. People are so, they're wooed by voices.
Yes. James Domian is proving that very well, right? Very nice. People have loved him on our show. And two more polls. One is, have you ever thought you were on a date and were wrong? And I thought about this.
Yeah.
I have the opposite problem. I realize I'm on a date while I'm in there or later on when someone explains after I describe my nice, lovely lunch.
Oh. Yep.
And they say, well, you were just on a date. And I will naysay it to death. But yeah. This is what happens with me, and Lauren is shaking her head because...
So you do a murder mystery ending where it all pieces together, and you're like, this makes sense.
You know what? I deny, but I guess I could see where they would see that.
Yeah, I'm always afraid. I don't think I've ever been on a date where I feel I feel like that has happened, but I'm always afraid to use the word date because some people have different like definitions for date. So I'm terrified I'll say, oh, we're on a date. Even if they like invited me to like dinner and drinks, and they'll be like, no, we're not. And then that would be so embarrassing. You know, like when you're
but
so
has
embarrassed,
that happened?
It's never happened, but I won't allow it to happen. It's because I won't allow it. I'll be as emotionally stoic as possible. Especially because, you know, there's nothing worse than being so embarrassed you can't recover in your mind for 5 minutes. So then you can't even – because I'm so bad, if you're really embarrassed about something, you think about it for 3 minutes. So not only are you embarrassed, but now you can't proceed in conversation because you're
right.
Like – you're so overwhelmed with how fucking dumb you are.
You're right, and you're having a conversation in your head, which is showing on your face.
Yep.
And you can't excuse yourself to go to the bathroom because – that's awkward also.
Right.
So now you find yourself in that awkward moment that you see on TV and in movies and go, that's ridiculous. Who would stutter like that?
Yeah.
Just move on. Now you're touching the napkin. You're going, oh, well, I knew that. Why did I say that? That's the dumbest line to say. I knew that. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just said date.
Mine is that's crazy. Like someone will be talking.
That's
like,
good.
That's crazy. Like, what are you,
I just look
what are
right.
you talking about? I'm talking about the salad eight. What? That's insane.
Oh, no, I think I do that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yep.
Brent, stop showing me a mirror. What were you going to say, Dan?
I just would look the girl right in the eyes and go, so we're not going to fuck?
Mm-hmm. Oh, bullshit,
no,
you
I'm
little
kidding.
Pussycat.
I would come completely unglued.
Yeah.
I would do exactly what you said.
I would like to see that.
I'd just be like,
from both of you, sorry.
Like, well, I didn't... I maybe would even try to turn it into an argument. Well, I'd be like, why did you say those nice things? Those texts were flirty.
I get combative.
Yeah, I'd get super combative. I think I'm embarrassed, I do.
I just texted this guy to hang out, and he's blown me off a couple times, so it's my fault, but he's also reciprocated a few times as well. Where he blew me off once, and he's like, hey, are you still in town? I'm moving soon. He's like, are you still in town? I'm like, yeah, let's hang out soon. And so anyway, long story short, he didn't write me back yet, and I am prepared to send him the meanest text of all time just because I get so angry and I feel like I have to like stand up for myself.
You do.
Right?
No.
Is that an awful thing to do?
Don't.
Yeah, don't do it.
Do it.
I was joking.
No.
You don't. You can't take text back.
I mean, I'm not going to tell him I hope he dies. I'll just be like, you know, thanks for wasting my time.
See, but I'm still going to say no on that one.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, what was the last thing that he said? He just said, are you in town? And you said, yes, let's hang out. And he just doesn't.
Yeah.
That pisses me off because he
so
keeps initiating it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But. He could just want Brett not to hate him. So he's kind of stringing him along, but maybe he has no intention of.
See, but it also could be.
Failed because I hate him.
Good. Good.
I hate him.
Good for you.
It also could be, do you ever notice it's so overwhelming to make plans as adults because you got to check. I hate saying this. Let me check my calendar. I always say, let me check my calendar because I'm an asshole adult or something. Yeah. I have to qualify that sentence somehow. Yeah. And then I sound like, you know, that thing that I didn't want to do. Like, of course, you know, that weird dialogue that's in my head coming out. But I do that and I don't like it. And I don't like committing to something necessarily, but I don't like everything being up in the air. So I wonder if both of you are just going, someone set a date because I can't, because it's so overwhelming. And I don't mean date, but it does get overwhelming to go, no, seriously, Sunday at 2 o'clock, this is all you'll want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's hard to imagine that because even in like my busiest weeks, I still have dozens of hours to play with. Like I'm not like I don't have all like we're awake. I'm awake for 19 hours.
What?
No, maybe 17.
Okay, because you're too pretty. There's no way.
18 hours a day, and that's a lot of fucking time. Like I don't occupy that. There's a ton of porn in my life. You know, it's just like there's so much time. So like when someone's like, let's get a drink. And you know, all you need is an hour for that. I can make time immediately, well, especially then, if he's cute.
Then you know? Do you set the date? Do you go, oh yeah, let's get a drink. What are you doing Thursday? Do you respond with the next step?
Yes, I usually
do. You do?
Yep.
Okay. So
and then
you're
I had
forgiven.
One recently. I had one where he canceled. We confirmed, and then he canceled 30 minutes before.
Oh, come
on. He said, I woke up from a nap and I'm groggy.
That's bullshit.
Like, what?
Fuck you.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's my life.
Wow, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
that's
that.
That's horrible, especially when people cancel on you when it's like, oh, you know what? I had to go run this errand. It's like, well, you knew that.
Yeah.
Especially since I'm already at the place. You already knew that when you got on the train to go the other direction.
Yep.
If you cancel, you got to cancel in the morning.
At least.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Just be like, listen, I can't make it tonight. I'm sorry.
The craziest part was I saw him again. I saw him at a bar, ran into him, and he was furious at me.
For what?
Because look at Dan
I
on your side.
Yeah.
For
you don't
what?
Fuck with Brent.
Because I didn't follow through and see if he was okay.
About what?
About the nap, I guess.
About
I wanted,
the grogginess?
About the
what?
Grogginess? That's what I was... It was one of these where, you know, when you meet someone, you're like... And you met him... We met at a bar. We hung out for like a couple hours. And then I was like, oh, you're fucking crazy. Like,
that
you're totally
is,
crazy.
When you find out someone is crazy, it is scary. It can be scary.
Yeah, it is because...
you're like, I don't know... What you find to be rational.
Yeah, because so many things click differently when you look, you know, in hindsight.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, what I thought was that is clicking different with you all this time.
One time this was a while ago, I was attracted to a girl who had a boyfriend, and then she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She liked me back.
Mm-hmm. How do you know?
Because we made out.
Okay, that's an indication.
This is a while ago.
Okay.
And then I was like, oh, you're a crazy person. Mm-hmm. Like, it clicked. Like, I saw it.
Why? How? Why?
Because I was like, we can't do this. I was like, you have a boyfriend. You're not available. And she was like, no logic.
Yep.
Just like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, oh, what happened? What happened? I literally was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And then it smoothed out, but it was like, there was an initial like, oh, fuck. Like, brace for impact. Like, oh, you're crazy.
I gave up on the conversation with this guy when I couldn't convince him to agree that he canceled on me.
Oh,
oh my God.
That's when I was like, oh, again, this is like fathoms out of
is he good looking?
This dimension. Yeah, he was.
Okay, I have a theory. Most beautiful people are crazy.
You're crazy then.
Oh, you.
I don't see. I'm telling you, Dan's like some fat kid who lost weight and didn't realize. Am I Brent?
You know, I think there are, I think in this case, I think there are people who just have personality disorders, you know, very subtle, but you know, if you can't be convinced that you factually canceled when you're the one that canceled, then that's that. I think that actually is borderline just, you know, a little crazy.
Oh yeah. Oh,
but
yeah.
There's a lot of beautiful people that are fucking nuts because they don't hear no. No one wants to say no to a beautiful person.
Oh.
So when they hear no, they don't know how to cope with it. Mm-hmm. I've heard no a lot in my life. I am more than okay with it. But when you tell, like, especially women, a beautiful woman, mm. no, they're like, what the fuck?
You cannot do this.
You cannot do this. you are supposed to do everything I want.
Now, do you believe, I've heard this before, do you think that attractive people, very, like, notably attractive people are boring?
I think that is true. I think a lot of beautiful people that you see have personalities have had to overcome something, whether it be physical, mental, yeah. emotional. Most people, when they're like, yeah, she's hot, she's really cool, you're like, all right, what happened? What season do you have?
I can't. It's hard to argue with that because I feel like for the most part, you're right. But here's the thing. If you are a beautiful person and have a big personality, then you go over the top with it maybe. Like, what's her name? McCarthy?
Jenny McCarthy?
Yes. So she has to pick her nose in public. You know
yeah,
what
but
I
that's
mean?
That, that's that she's doing that for a reason. She's doing it for a reason. She's like, look, I'm hot, but I fart. Look at me playing my butt. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about people with real personalities that are beautiful, mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, wow, you're interesting. Yeah. You know, the marriage material. The ones where you're like, yeah, but there's always something. Mm-hmm. There's something that made them.
But good on that something, because we all have to live through something in order to relate to someone else.
Yeah, you're
because
right. Human empathy.
Yeah, who lives a perfect life? If you live there's a perfect
people.
Life.
There's people that do.
I don't know. I had no major crises in my life, but.
And yet your anxiety is through the roof.
It's through the roof.
What is up?
He's a comedian.
I had no. Yeah, I. Whenever I hear that, like, you know, comedians always had something go wrong, I've had nothing.
Really?
Nothing, like, significant happen, awful happen in my life. So unfortunately, where, knock on wood.
Where does this anxiety come from? You're a hypochondriac a little bit.
I'm a
can you be a little bit of a hypochondriac?
I think you can be.
Yeah?
I think you can have...
Yeah.
I believe you can... Brett and I, and we were all talking about this before, but it can come in waves.
Mm. Mm-hmm. But what's giving you anxiety on a regular basis?
You know, sometimes I just wake up and I'm like, I shouldn't eat for 3 hours because I'll just have diarrhea. You know, I just wake up and I'm an anxious person sometimes, and then sometimes I'm pretty fine. I mean, I don't avoid anything in my life. I don't not do anything because of anxiety. Like I fly, I still get on stage, but I get anxiety with all of those. Things.
Well, when you were younger, did something happen? Were you not allowed? Were you not allowed to be yourself as a kid?
No, you know I was. Fuck? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I.
You were allowed to be yourself as a kid.
Yeah, I was. I don't know. You know, I mean, the only traumatic thing, I moved between fifth and sixth grade, so I went to a different school. So,
but yeah, but everyone
you know,
does.
Everyone does that at some point. You know, I went to a different school, so I didn't know anyone. But like, you know.
It
took
like
3 months and I settled in. That doesn't really count.
Yeah.
Like what happened? I mean, I guess you had your shitty stepfather.
I mean, yeah, but that is just the tip of the iceberg, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
I got a big fucking iceberg.
Yes.
But yeah, I think you're right. People are always like, sorry. People are always like, comedians had to have something bad happen.
Right.
And I feel like, when there's comedians that don't, they're almost like, what's wrong with me? Like, yeah. No, it's a good thing. You're just a funny person who's had a good life. That's awesome. I have got so many demons that it's like, you know, I've got to keep at bay. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you're thinking of actually quitting smoking and drinking.
I'm going to quit smoking.
You're going to.
Yeah, there's no
Now, what's this going to? When does that happen?
I've got some stuff coming up at the end of the year and the beginning of the year. And I feel like it's going to be stressful on its own. And I think to add in the quitting drinking and quitting smoking, which are two huge things that I've done for 14 years.
When you say quit drinking.
I mean, done.
What's making you do that?
I don't like being drunk anymore.
Really?
What? Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
But you got to understand, I'm hungover today. Went to a Christmas party last night.
Are you drinking extra because you know that you have this goal?
No. I'm actually cut back because I have this goal.
Because you're worried that you can't just cut it off?
Yeah.
Are you worried that it's such a big part of your personality and what people know about you?
Yes. That it's like, oh, shit. Like, you know what? It's the smoking, obviously, because of my throat pain. I've just been like, you know, which it's more than likely my acid reflux, which I need to change my diet. Okay. But smoking is the dumbest
Yeah, sorry.
Thing ever.
Yeah, drinking I get because
yeah,
there's not like a line, and there's a maintenance thing that has to happen, and you're bored and blah blah blah, and there's so many reasons to drink. Not good. I'm not saying good reasons, but there's so many reasons to drink, and it's so all around you. But smoking, you're just addicted, and it doesn't feel good.
Well,
okay,
you don't know that because you're not a non-smoker,
right?
I am a non-smoker. There's cigarettes that are truly enjoyable.
Mm.
There are a couple times where you fire up and you're like, what's up?
Really?
This is A-okay.
I'm sorry, can I?
Yeah, absolutely.
I smoke when I drink maybe like once a week. I've been doing that for like 3 years, and I still don't like it. Obviously, I haven't gotten that into it.
You hear that,
but
Dan?
I think it still sucks. Yeah. I just do it because it's social. It's like fun to leave a bar with friends and like bum a cigarette and, you know.
I'm sure that sucks for Dan to hear.
Yeah. Because I have wanted to quit for probably 5 years. Yeah.
Didn't you quit for a little while?
And the reason I'm saying I'm quitting drinking is because...
That's what got you to smoke again?
Oh, yeah. Got shit-faced. Was like, let me get a drag. I don't miss these things.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, hey, I'll have a pack of Camel Lights. Thank you.
I'm gonna bring this up because I want to ask you if this has anything to do with it. You lost your father to alcohol.
Yeah.
Right? Would you say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you were 14 years old.
Yeah.
So were you drinking at 14?
No. I did a thing for a long time where I was like, I'm never going to drink. Fuck drinking. And I smoked pot, like a lot of pot. And then college, everyone was drinking. And then I started drinking and I realized I was really good at it.
But did it freak you out the first time you drank?
No.
Really?
I hated it. And I remember doing it. And then I remember like looking around and being like, I can outdrink everybody. I am a god. And then, and then I kept getting shitty. And then there's nothing worse than a hangover. You're just sick. You're sick from poison.
Yeah.
And how often do you drink right now?
Probably twice a week.
That's it?
That's your problem.
Yeah.
Only twice a week.
Well, I used to be six nights a week.
Yeah.
Oh, so now you're cutting back to get ready for this.
There were weeks where it was seven nights.
Now, when you say drink, do you mean get drunk or do you mean have a beer?
Oh, there's no such thing as a beer. Because yeah. I'll have a couple beers and then I'll be like, I'll do a whiskey.
Yeah.
And then I do two whiskeys and I'm like, all right, another beer. And then it's good night, Irene. I'm just going for it. I'm going for it all. I go for the brass ring.
See, for me, when I have like two beers, then I get super sleepy. But I try to do that like a couple times a week to keep from like being drunk all the time. Yeah. I would say I get drunk like 2 to 3 times a week.
Okay.
Like... pretty hardcore.
What kind of drunk are you?
I start with a foundation of liquor, typically whiskey or cheap vodka.
I'm sorry, you just made that sound so nice. I feel like I should be dressed up for what you just said.
It's a lot of Subway drinking. There's no dressing up for this. It's me on the Subway doing a shot from my flask and then one from Mountain Dew.
Why?
And then just pounding. Because that's cheap. I have no money. So I have to, if I'm gonna go out, if I want to go, you know, get drunk or whatever, go to a bar, hang out with friends, then I start with that because I don't think I've gotten.
Do you think if your therapist hears that, there's reason to say, should we explore this?
I'm sure we could explore that. I'm sure she would have
some real deal shit.
Yes.
You think so? I think living in New York.
For me, it's just saving money.
Yeah. Living in New York when like a shot is $7.
Yeah.
I mean, the flask comes into a different kind of play.
Mm-hmm. See, for me, it would make... that would be the point where I'm like, I fucking am a booze bag.
Oh, boy. Because
I'd just be like sucking on that flask on the train. Just
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what's it like when you get drunk now? You're saying you don't like it.
I love getting there. Getting there is a blast. But once I'm finally drunk, I'm like, what am I doing?
Well, good luck. Come back on the show and let's hear what you sound like without the thing in your hand.
Yeah.
You think are you anticipating any kind of?
I also think the good thing that you're doing is you're not getting to the point where you have to give up or else you become a full blown alcoholic.
Yeah.
You're just saying, I want to quit smoking. I want to show essentially the control that I have. So I'm just like looking for ways you could somehow drink again. But so like in a year, you've quit smoking. You realize you're clearly not an alcoholic. You have a firm grasp on your life. Yeah, you could take another beer.
Are you serious? Are you serious? He just said he doesn't know what one beer is, and he started off that way.
But here's the thing.
And I'm not judging.
Yeah, no, judge away, because I'm clearly ripe for it. I always said to myself that at a wedding, if someone I'm close to gets married, mm-hmm. I want to be the guy at the wedding that if I have a couple beers, people are like, are you drunk? And they're like, it's cute. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the guy that I am now where they're like, hey, dude, it's Cash Bar. Like, that's what they say to you first thing. And you're like, fuck. All right.
Are you planning on going into a program?
No. There's a series of books by Alan Carr. He did The Easy Way to Quit Smoking and The Easy Way to Quit Drinking. And I find them to be...
soothing.
Very soothing.
Did you hear that? He put his sex voice on for us, Brent.
That was very
We're
nice.
Not interested, Dan.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wait, so what is his approach?
He reverse brainwashes you. Hmm. He's basically... the smoking one I read, and it worked. But
Dan's going to be gay in the new year.
What's that?
Reverse brainwashing.
Yeah. Brent's like, so you don't like vagina? I'm like, I don't. But he basically is like, he calls you out for what you're doing. Mm.
Right.
He's like, you don't like smoking. He's like, think about what you're doing. And he tells you to smoke the whole time you're reading the book.
Oh, come on.
No, but by the end, it really does work.
That's interesting. I
smoked back-to-back cigarettes in the last 10 pages. Put out my cigarette, finished the book, went to bed, woke up, went 5 months without a cigarette, and wasn't really that tempted until I drank. And I was drinking those times, and for the first 3 months, I'd get drunk and not even want a cigarette.
Wow.
But then eventually, the alcohol creeps in, and you're like, oh, I forgot how great cigarettes are when you're drunk.
Yeah. Wow. All right, well, we'll talk to you in the new year, and good luck. Part of it is that you're going to be on Conan, right?
Yeah, January 7th.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
And not to go back super quick, we did ask about did you ever think you were on a date and you were wrong? And I think before the show I mentioned it and you said you were.
Yeah, I had a crush on a girl in college who, my freshman year, who was in my French class. And I asked her out on what I thought was a date.
How'd you ask?
I was like, hey, do you want to go get dinner tonight?
Okay.
And she was like, yeah.
That should have raised a flag or two with her. Maybe I'm talking to myself and Lauren's giving me the eyes.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Dinner?
Oh my God. Okay, Lauren.
I feel like that's a fair date. That's
but
a date.
They're in what, high school you said, or college?
Freshman year of college.
Okay.
I'm like, I'll see you at the dorms.
Oh.
I'll come get you at the dorms. Okay. And when I went to go pick her up, she was there with a friend.
Mm.
And she's like, this is my friend. She's going to come out with us. And I was like.
And you're like, that's crazy. That's insane.
What?
I would spend 4 minutes just saying that. Just reeling inside.
Well, I did. For like 5 minutes, I was like, is this chick going to leave?
Yeah.
Did you end up having dinner with both of them?
Yeah.
Did you pay for both of them?
No.
No, okay.
Dutch. I called my friend Pete. I was like, meet up with me. I can't.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then we just sat there and hung out, and it was super awkward. And then she married my friend from high school.
Oh.
She, in fact, you sound not
upset about this.
No, he's great. He's a good dude. Tom is a good dude, and she was hot and good for Tom.
Yeah.
Well, here's one last poll, the one from yesterday. Sexually, this is for women only, but I want to get your opinions. Sexually, are you vocal with your partner about what you want? Now, do you find your partner's vocal?
No.
No.
No, both of you.
No, I can't say anything. I feel like I don't have it. Like, I feel like I don't have a sexy voice. And whenever I like break into like sexy voice, it's like, oh, this is disgusting. And I
please do it.
There's no voice to be. It's like I'm already like grossed out. So I never like dirty talk or anything.
Never.
Never.
How do you get things to where you want them to be then?
Well, I mean, for what it's worth, I have mostly disastrous sexual encounters.
Come on.
But
what does that mean?
Yeah, you know, I guess I give like, you know, verbal. I'm like, yeah, that, you know, that's good. Do that.
What are these?
I like how scientific it is.
Right? Yeah.
Excellent. Proceed. Proceed.
And the people that you're sleeping with, they're also the same. They're not talking. They're not saying anything.
You know. Yeah, I don't. I've never had anyone who was like super vocal or anything.
I hooked up with a girl, and I'm a talker.
Are you really?
Yeah, and we were both drunk.
How talky are you?
I'm pretty talky.
Really?
I'm a chatterbug. and she had the funniest line I've ever heard when I've been in bed with a woman.
Oh,
she was like, She goes, oh, we got a talker.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, this is, that's, we both started laughing. I was like, that was really funny.
Was she a talker also?
No.
Are you just like chit chatting? Like, what are you talking about?
It's dirty.
Yeah. Like what? Come on, bring it.
It's instruction.
Yeah.
That feels good.
Okay.
Yes, more of that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to do? Not said as crisp and enunciating.
Okay.
There's a lot of heavy breathing.
Did you ever say, okay, what do you want me to do? Or ask a question?
I always ask.
And the person was like, freaking out about it?
I had a girl that I dated that made no noise.
No noise at all.
No noise.
A little panting.
Maybe. Yeah, breathing, because that's what humans do.
Okay. That would wig me out a little bit.
But she would lay, she just laid there with her arms, like kind of like a baby being changed. Just like.
No.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're raping someone?
I'll tell you this, whatever it is, it doesn't feel good. It just feels, I feel like I'm bothering them. You're like, hey, do you want me just like, I can just go home. Like, I'm really sorry. Because there's some girls where you're like, yeah, there's some girls that are so noisy that you're like, there's no way you're actually enjoying it this much. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other side where you're like, you're not, are you cool? Is everything all right?
What do you do? Do you say something?
When they're not making any noise?
Yeah,
No. Fuck no. I just get out of there and I'm like, oh.
Are you like, well, that didn't work. I'm done.
Yeah, I faked orgasms to get out of situations like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. I will fake a cum with the drop of a hat.
It's and then easy. You take off the condom real quick or something?
You know what you do is you pull on the condom a little bit so it's got a little leverage, because that's what it looks like when you do. And then you just go right in the bathroom and throw it away.
Yeah.
Dispose of the evidence.
Oh, my God.
Put it down the toilet.
Do you make noises like,
oh, yeah.
And now I am...
I am completing because of our sexual activity. I am completing, finishing now. You got to. To really sell.
I don't think I've ever faked an orgasm. I don't know if, I guess I would know. I mean, you kind of just ease into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, if the situation's going bad, I'm not sticking around.
Sure.
Really?
Because if the situation's bad and you do complete, it is shitty. You're just like sitting there like, God, I can't really say that was good.
So wait, but wouldn't it be the same afterwards? Because you faked it, so you still have to have the same conversation. No.
You're thinking different.
Okay. You're still thinking.
Women really need to understand how much semen changes men's thoughts. As far as when it's in us and when it's out of us.
Yeah.
It's like, you really, once it's out of you, you're...
Regretful.
Yeah.
Sad.
You feel angry. Vulnerable. There's a vulnerability feeling. After you nut, you're just like, But before you nut, you're like, I'm a barbarian. I'm a fuck barbarian. And you're like, this is mine. This feels good. That feels good. I'll say stuff to you.
Oh, my God. Please say you said in bed, I'm a fuck barbarian.
No. But I might.
I need footage of that.
Okay. I have one of those horned helmets on. Role playing.
You could see this, right, Brent?
This is amazing.
Game of Thrones theme playing in the back.
Yep.
But I want to know what disastrous sex is like for you, Brent.
You know, for me, oh God. Do we have to get
yes.
into this?
Yes.
For me, you know, just disastrous sex is when someone comes back and we didn't establish what roles we like to play.
Oh, that's a big thing.
Yeah, that happens occasionally if you don't establish at a bar, because obviously...
Like a top or bottom?
Yeah, right, okay. Right. Because once in a while, I think it's easy. I think I'm a little ambiguous because I'm like relatively small framed. And
which
not, like,
is
super
normally
big.
A bottom?
I'm actually normally a top.
No, but normally when you're small framed, are you normally a bottom?
I think it's easy to stereotype that.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, I'm bigger than this guy, so therefore he'll...
So I'm going to fuck him. It's very animalistic.
Yeah, exactly. It's very animalistic.
I'm bigger than you. I'm going to put it in you.
Yeah, right, right.
So that's the stereotype.
I would say that's the stereotype that I typically go by. And usually, you know, there's some brief discussion about how this is going to go down.
Wait, how does that work? Sorry,
sometimes you just say, are you a top or a bottom?
Oh, huh. That's interesting because I don't know.
Yeah, there aren't like metaphors.
Can you imagine, Dan, if you went to a girl and said, I'm gonna be able to do doggy style, right?
Yeah,
like that's gonna be a thing.
Hashing the details.
Yeah, you're
Are you enjoying your gin and tonic?
Good. Hey, for what it's, I mean, this
Quick
is
question.
Usually.
Can you right. ride me?
You're into blowjobs, right?
I've actually said that. Yeah. Mm. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. When you find out a girl doesn't give blowjobs, it can be pretty
Do you
upsetting.
Go down on girls, though?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. I will.
That should be... What percentage of guys go down on girls? That would be a good...
Here's the thing, though. If I don't... Hole. There's girls that I... There's some girls I've dated that are like, I don't know if I want to. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily mean I think they're dirty or anything. It's just a weird feeling where you're like, I don't want to go down on her. And then there's some girls where you're like, I'll see girls in the street, and I was like, I legitimately...
I think that goes both ways. I
yeah,
think that
absolutely.
Definitely there's even like a smell where it's like your smell makes me want to do that fucking
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. yeah. There's some yeah. people you just want to get in there and
yeah.
jump around in the mud.
What else you got?
And there's some people where you're just like, I don't really, I'm leery.
You yeah. know what happened to me once? I blew this weirdo, and 24 hours later, I got terrible strep throat.
Oh, God.
Oh boy.
No STD. It was just strep. But and that was like a year ago, and it's really fucked with my head. I've hooked up with like two guys since because I, as a hypochondriac, every time I see someone naked, I'm like, I don't want to get sick.
Yeah. And you know what's weird you
it
say
really
that?
Really fucked with my head.
As a hypochondriac, there's been leading studies out now that HPV. In men, can cause throat cancer if you're a smoker and drinker.
What?
Yeah, they're connecting evidence that HPV in men, which, you know, I've heard stats upwards of 4 out of 5 people are infected and don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
But, so eating, you know, necessarily going down there and, you know.
How is hypochondriacs, both of you, I don't know how this got booked. But how do you even have sex as a hypochondriac?
I ask questions.
Oh, it's...
You
it's
do.
Horrifying.
Yeah. I ask legitimately 99% of the time before we have sex, I'll go, do you have any lifelong diseases?
I'm always like, do you have any STDs?
Yeah.
And it's like once you're naked, it's like, and they're not going to be like, yeah.
I've had a girl say yes.
Really?
And I have not, and I did not have sex with her.
Oh,
oh
wow.
That's not awkward.
Well, you know what? She.
It's rough.
Yeah.
How'd you let that down?
Well, it's more, it just went
What did
down.
She have?
Herpes.
Mm. Herpes, that's a little
like,
more hardcore.
Nope.
Yeah.
I go, nope. And she goes, I'll blow you. And I was like, nope.
Oh
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I was like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry to do that. And she's like, it's all right. She's like, I've had guys say that. And she's like, but I don't have outbreaks that
okay.
often. She's like, I was married for 5 years and he didn't get it. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And, you know, there's people that know about herpes that are like, yeah, you can still have an active sexual life. But
absolutely.
As a hypochondriac, I'm like, no.
You know what I'm picturing? They're like, that you're jerking off next to each other just to kind of.
It legitimately just killed.
Hmm.
And it was my question. It was my fault, but I asked and I'm glad I asked.
That's not your fault. You might have, as she's taking off her clothes, say, I have a question. And maybe not wait until she's naked.
Maybe I should do what Brent does, and or
ask if she's
the
top or bottom.
Well,
you're top or bottom.
I actually, I've thought about this a lot because I have a couple friends with herpes. The only STD I care about is HIV. The rest, obviously most of them are treatable. And I think if I got herpes, I just feel like it's a reasonable part of living a semi promiscuous life. I'm not by any means a slut, but it's also like I'm not like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna, you know, go on 9 dates before I, sleep with someone. So, like, I've told myself if I get herpes or if I get an STD outside of HIV, then, you know, thus is life. It sucks, but I also respect if someone lies to me about herpes. I've genuinely had this thought
because you don't want to know.
You don't want to know, and if and this is gonna sound awful, but if I had herpes. And for instance, I have several friends who've had it for years and no one's ever gotten it from that they know of. I wouldn't tell people, especially if the odds of giving it to someone are so slim. So I respect if I get it from someone and they didn't tell me. I just think that's a part of life.
Dan?
I'm horrified of all this.
Okay.
I don't even like saying the word disease. My astrological
makes
sign.
You lightheaded.
My astrological sign is Cancer, and it bothers me. And it just really—it's the worst astrological sign for a hypochondriac. What's your sign? It's Cancer. Just mean. It's just a mean thing to name an astrological sign.
Oh my God! Well, You guys, you are moving to LA, mm-hmm. and you're going to LA, and this is going to be around the same time.
Yeah.
Are you guys doing shows while you're out there? How could people find your information, what you're doing? I know you guys are on Twitter.
Yeah. I did a web series called It Gets Better-ish with my good friend Elliot Glazer.
Very funny.
And I'm on YouTube and, you know, Facebook. I actually don't really tweet. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really tweet.
On Twitter, but I retweet. Oh, wow. I'm a king of the retweets.
Yeah. Hoping you get credit.
Hey, all I'm saying is I'm doing my part on Twitter.
And what's your
at Dan Soder.
What's your where do you list all your shows and what you're doing?
The website that I don't have, but it is under construction and it has been for the 8.5 years I've been doing comedy.
How did you get on Conan with such bullshit?
Here's the deal.
Who goes to web pages though?
I guess they go to Facebook.
Facebook, yeah. Twitter,
ask
YouTube.
Ask me where I am. Then I'll let you know.
Did you hear that, everybody? You can ask him if he's a top or bottom, if he has any diseases, and where he's performing.
Yeah.
Somebody recently did a review of something that you put out that you were just flipping out about.
His show. I think it was a live show.
We were talking about, you know, this is perfect time because we're talking about Twitter. And Brent and I were talking about people that retweet compliments and how just kind of we're not on
gauche,
board with that.
How gauche that is.
I'm okay with it because I feel like Twitter, as you're on there for a reason. You're on there to push your, quote, brand. Now, you guys are not tweeting a lot, so you're not so much in the game. So you tweet a couple things, but then you also let people know where you are, what you're doing, and it sort of says, like, hey, guys, you're not the only one who thinks nice things about me. You're following me for this reason. Here's this. This is really nice.
And that's fine.
And I understand why you feel otherwise, but it's a different world out there, and it's very bizarre. Sure. That's why I like to tweet via Keith and the girl, like, hey, look what @Hemda did.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I get that, and I'm totally on board with that.
Yeah, okay, good.
But
just assume, everybody, that that's Keith doing it.
I also love finding people's shit. No, I love people tearing me apart because I find it funny.
Is that what this is about?
Yeah, I find it really fun. I legitimately was hysterically laughing when I read this.
So you'll retweet shitty things about you?
Oh, absolutely. Because I think it's funny because I feel like we're in a culture right now where everyone feels like they have an opinion. And they have the right.
Well, they do.
But they do.
Yeah.
But do they necessarily have the right to share that opinion is where you can get into the argument of maybe some people should just be seen and not heard.
Well, Mike Lawrence, we were talking about this with Mike Lawrence the other day. And I feel like, yes, you have every right to share your opinion. But Mike's thing is don't at that person, making sure that he saw the bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if you want to hate me, can we not make sure that I see it? I mean, in a way, I like the honesty of it because then, you know, there's your name. You know, it leads back to what you do also.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. But yes, your opinion deserves to be out there to your followers. You know, that's fine. I mean, as comics, you can't say that you can't have an opinion on things because it's your job to shit on people. Yeah. That's what makes it funny.
Well, and that's why I love, I'm not saying that people shouldn't comment. I think it's hilarious. Sometimes it's inaccurate, and sometimes it just really gives me, like, listen. There's been people online. They're like, "Fucking loser! What a loser! What a fucking!" And you know,
loser.
You're kind of like, there was one guy that wrote something on an interview I did where he's like, "He's not." It was such an awful thing to say that I was like, well, "Fuck you!" Dude. Like, I wanted to write back, like, "Fuck you!"
Right,
dude.
Right.
But then there's some where you're like, "This is." So funny to me because...
Well, read the thing that you...
So I headlined...
I want to laugh. Read me how shitty you are.
I worked in Providence, Rhode Island 2 weeks ago at Catch a Rising Star. I had a great time, did 3 shows. 2 of the 3 shows were great. Early show Saturday was tough. Mm-hmm. It's a casino. It can be pretty colorful with my language. And if you're not on board with my comedy... Probably just like any comedian.
That's so funny because a casino you would think would be okay with your little colorful language over there.
Well, they're older people. Mm-hmm. And,
so you got the slots crowd.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this was great. So the guy who opened for me was a really nice guy, really funny, but very theatrical. A lot of act outs, silly act outs. And he did great. So this is what they wrote. This is on Ticketmaster.com from my show in Providence. Someone wrote, Warm-up act was great. Headliner Dan Soder was just not funny.
Oh, my God. They didn't mention the warm-up act name, though.
Yeah.
So this guy was awesome. Fuck him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's this guy, full name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He looked at his watch about 10 times in his half-hour act. No one laughed. It was sad. Favorite review ever.
Wait, yeah. Did you look at your watch?
Yeah, I hated them.
Oh.
Guess what? Learn how to read body language. You think I like looking at my watch? I don't have that cool of a watch. It's because you're a dumb crowd and you sucked. I know you're not supposed to blame the crowd, but fuck that crowd and fuck that person.
There are people listening who will say, well, why couldn't you turn it around? It's not the crowd.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Question.
You're right. And those people should start doing stand-up and then go headline and realize that there's some situations where you're just going to take a beating. And listen, I'm not saying I'm the best comedian ever. I'm not saying that by a long shot. But I'm saying is this was so funny, short, and trying to be vicious, and I just loved it. The last two sentences were the best. No one laughed. It was sad.
Aw.
Love it.
That's amazing.
Love it.
I just want to write, if I was me, I'm a hypochondriac, so thanks. And, like, it makes no sense, but that's my response to you.
I lost my father when I was 14, but thank you. It's like, what? I'm like, oh, no, no one laughed. It was sad. I just quoted right back at him. And to quote your review, no one laughed. It was sad.
Oh, my God. Well, find these people on Facebook and Twitter because you'll get funny retweets.
Oh, you're going to get a ton of retweets.
Follow Dan to see how shitty life is. And we're gonna follow all your lives. I know you're moving to LA, but I imagine you'll visit us.
I will be visiting plenty.
Excellent. So check out Brent Sullivan and Dan Soder. And I just want to say this before we go. I want to thank my brother Michael and his girlfriend Maricela, who are both working with us now. And through a lot of things, and especially now Keith is in the hospital and, you know, I could use extra help. They're really just being amazing about it. So I just wanted to shout out. They work at Skim That. So you can follow them on Twitter at Skim That. And what they do is they take news articles, they shorten it for you so you can move on with your day.
Huh.
So if you're on Twitter and you can't catch up with all the stuff, they'll shorten it for you. Now you're caught up and you know about everything and you don't sound like a douchebag when you're out there. Also, I will personally be processing orders today and tomorrow to try to get these everything out by Christmas. So if you were going to order everything today and tomorrow, if you were going to order anything that you wanted for Christmas, make sure you do that right away. And don't forget the Christmas CD. My Christmas CD that I co-produced with Lauren is out now, and you can get it for $5. So go to keithandthegirl.com/store. Order your stuff now. Guys, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And as always, as always in the last 2 weeks, we're going to wish Keith a
speedy recovery.
Speedy recovery. Thank you, guys.
Get better, Keith. Keithandthegirl.com.